Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio
202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Football Friday. We made it. It's Friday. Friday is here. The weekend is here. Football is here. I am here. I'm not sure which one's better. Probably the weekend in football, but I'm not half bad. 888-808-1019. We're taking your calls till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we're going to start our Football Friday morning with Thursday night. We'll get to the Giants here in a second, but like a couple things about, I mean, that was this Bills team. And I know they're not a New York team. And apparently we got a call to the control room about all we do is talk New York sports. Newsflash! But that Houston defense last night was absolutely ferocious. 8 sacks. They turn him over twice, Josh Allen. And I just can't help as we get ready for a Football Friday and we get ready to see Jackson Dart again, hopefully. Hopefully he's cleared. Hopefully he's healthy. We're going to do a lot on that this morning. We're going to see Tyrod Taylor for the Jets. This Bills team, and really the AFC, because I can't help but think about it, but this, like, that Texans defense last night and what the Bills have been here. Like, and you look at now Kansas City, for example, who's 5-5. And those two teams, along with the Ravens, who, yeah, they're 5-5 as well, and it feels like they're surging to the top of their division, and they'd probably be better if Lamar Jackson didn't miss all that time, and he practiced fully on Thursday, and we expect him now to play against the New York Jets. But this Bills team that started off with that win against the Ravens in a, you know, that 41-40 kind of classic open to the season and started the year 4-0 against lousy teams, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Saints. They have been so up and down. They give you wins like against Kansas City at 28-21. They give you wins like against the Buccaneers where they're down late and somehow still win the game by 12 points. And then they give you no-shows like against the Dolphins and against last night against the Texans where, I mean, they were just completely overrun by what is becoming one of the more dominant defenses in the NFL, if not the dominant defense in the NFL. And there's a handful of really good defenses in the NFL right now. You look at what the Texans have been able to do, 8 sacks last night, 2 turnovers against this Buffalo team, again, who's coming off a really good win against the Bucs. You look at what Seattle's defense has been able to do. I mean, they play a Rams team last week that's been as good offensively and have the MVP of the league, a quarterback in Stafford. They throw 4 interceptions, and they're still right there to kick a 64-yard field goal to try and win a game against the Rams because that defense has been incredible. You look at how good the Browns' defense is at home in their building. Like, you look at the Patriots defense and what they've done against the run, there are a lot of good defenses in the NFL this year. And the Texans right now, who are in that division with everybody's, you know, favorite team, the Colts, they're going to make a case again to go to beat the Buffalo Bills and dominate them in that fact, in that manner, and have Davis Mills be the quarterback. No Stroud. Davis Mills to go beat the Buffalo Bills 23-19. And you thought for a second when they pull off the hook and ladder and get that 4th-and-27 that you thought maybe they would end up blowing the game. But they don't. They get 8 sacks. Anderson with 2.5. Hunter has 2 sacks. That defense has completely taken that next step to dominant. Davis Mills, who isn't good in this game. I mean, he does throw 2 touchdown passes, but 16 to 30 for 153 yards. But you look at it right now. The class, the typical class of the AFC has been the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens. Right now, the Bills can't put back-to-back good performances together. Josh Allen is having the most up-and-down season he's had since before Brian Daboll. They're 7-4 in a division where they're being outclassed by the Patriots. The Kansas City Chiefs are 5-5 at home this week against the Colts as a 3.5-point favorite, but, I mean, they've really struggled. They've lost, I think they're 0-6 and 0-5, rather, in one-score games. This is the team that consistently wins close games, gets the whistle, Patrick Mahomes with the ball in his hand in the last few minutes of a game. And, I mean, that's what the Chiefs are, and they've been terrible at it. Now, can I imagine them being under 500 this late in the year against, you know, lose and go 5-6 at this point? Are we talking about an AFC that doesn't have both the Bills and Chiefs in the postseason? Because it feels like one of those two teams could miss the playoffs. And it's amazing that the Patriots have already, after what, like, let's be honest, maybe 2 years, a year and a half of being a lousy football team, have suddenly thrust themselves into the clear class of this division. And right now, you'd have to think, I mean, they've got a big lead in this division against the Bills. And they're probably going to win this division. I still think the Ravens are probably going to find a way to win that division, but... And the Chiefs last week losing that game against the Broncos, that's a game the Chiefs haven't lost since Patrick Mahomes got there. And you got the Colts playing the way they're playing, and this is going to be a big week and a big game. You've got, against Kansas City, you've got the Buffalo Bills up and down, tops and turvy. Hideous losses against Davis Mills and the Houston Texans last night. A hideous loss, a no-show loss against an absolutely, up until that game, falling apart Miami Dolphins team, where everybody expected the coach fired. They've already fired their GM. A game that, a brutal, disgusting no-show loss against the Falcons, and the Falcons haven't played a comp, you know, haven't won a game since practically, or just have been god-awful. And they've fallen apart. And they're one of the worst head coach teams in the league. So you've got a Bills team that is completely up and down, a Kansas City team that doesn't win close games anymore, and a Ravens team that's dealing with the injury of their quarterback, while probably still going to surge and win that division, don't feel like the force anymore. And this AFC is completely up for grabs. The NFC has kind of been that way. We know the Eagles are the class. The Lions are good. The Rams, as Stafford is healthy, you know how good they're going to be. But this AFC is completely turned around. And watching that game last night, it was just never more obvious that this Bills team is just not it. You've got the coach making head-scratching decisions to kick a field goal, you know, with 5 minutes left where they would still need a touchdown anyway. I understand it was 4th-and-10. Go ask your star MVP quarterback to go make a play.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is going to be a very fascinating AFC down the stretch the rest of the way here. And we'll see if the teams that have surprised us are going to be the class. Are the Colts? Are the Patriots? Is this the class of the AFC? Is this a year where we're not going to see Kansas City? Because let's be honest, the Chiefs, you look at their underlying numbers, and offensively, I watched the Chiefs for the most part, and despite making critical mistakes, and despite me not being able to win these close games like they always normally do, like, you look at the offense, they look better than the team that was, what, 14-15-1 last year? At times, they looked better than that team last year who went to the Super Bowl. And yet, they're 5-5, and it feels like they're a bad performance against the Colts for possibly being on the outside looking in. So it is a up and down, topsy-turvy AFC where, I mean, you are looking at teams like the Patriots and the Colts as the class and heading in with Daniel Jones as the Colts quarterback, which was really, you know, sort of a last-minute decision as he beats out Richardson. Like, a Colts team that was awful down the stretch of last year, starting Daniel Jones. A Denver Broncos team that, yes, made the playoffs last year, and I haven't mentioned them just yet, and we're talking about the win they had against the Chiefs. The Denver Broncos last year, who, yes, were a playoff team, but relied heavily on their defense. They still do. You're not sure about this young quarterback. You're still not. But they find ways to win with Sean Payton and Bo Nix. A Patriots team that you knew would be much improved. You knew Vrabel would come in and change the culture a little bit. But this is the new class of the AFC this year. And we'll see if that changes down the stretch and we end up having the same type of, you know, Kansas City versus Bills or Kansas City versus Baltimore or Baltimore versus Buffalo. Like, will we still have those same games we expect year in and year out? Or is this going to be a different looking AFC playoff picture? And on this Football Friday, then we turn our attention to the New York Giants. And I know I did a lot on it yesterday, but another good day of a full practice for the quarterback. And it feels like, although he hasn't been announced yet, it feels like we are going to have a reason to watch a game on Sunday against the Lions as Jackson Dart will hopefully most likely play. And that's exactly what the Giants should do. We talked about it yesterday. I still can't believe how many people that hit me up after the show all day yesterday. You're lost if you think if he's cleared that he shouldn't play against the Lions team. This is critical. I reflect and turn back to 2004 all the time. And Eli's first year. And think about that stretch of games that he played. Now, he ended up being the Iron Man and never missed a game and everything, so it's not necessarily the injury, but the idea of every one of those games mattered. And ultimately, leading down the stretch of that season, they win that Dallas game heading in, and that set them up for next year. This team, despite being a dumpster fire right now, and I get it. I get the record. I get all of the nonsense circling and swirling around this team with a coach who most likely, and I still want to see what Kafka can do. And that's going to be a talking point for me today into this game on Sunday and probably in my show on Saturday. Like, I'm still interested to see if Kafka can handle this situation because it's a tough one. They're going into Detroit coming off a tough loss against the Eagles. You know what they do when we get to the pick segment. We'll go over, you know, what they do against bad teams in their building as, you know, heavy favorites. Like, this is a bad spot for the New York Giants. Just traditionally, in Dan Campbell's era of the Detroit Lions, awful loss at home as a more than field goal favorite. It's dominance. It's dominance. And that's where the Giants find themselves. They're heading in to go play a very good Detroit Lions team as a two-digit underdog. As they're coming off an ugly loss against Philadelphia, where the offense, now that has been the play calling taken over by the head coach, looked kind of inept and lost and disjointed. They're going to try and find themselves against this Giants team and a defense who can't stop the run, a defense whose young rookie has been under the spotlight, the red spotlight, whatever you want to call it, as he's missing walkthroughs and being punished and going WWE and forget about Scadaboo for a second, but that whole situation with Abdul Carter, a defense that can't stop the run, one of the worst defenses in the league. You know, Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, everybody wants fired. Every other word out of every other Giant fan's mouth is, when are they going to fire this disgrace of a defensive coordinator? You're going to have Jackson Dart playing his first game without his compadre, without his best friend, without the man who would run into a blue tent for him, and Brian Daboll, despite having the same play caller in Kafka. This is still a spot for me as we are debating who's going to be the next head coach of the New York Giants, where, yeah, as crazy as I am, I think Kafka has an opportunity to go out there and impress us all. Because this would be one hell of a game to go out there and keep competitive and, dare I say, win the game, which nobody expects. But if they're going to do it, and if it's worth watching, it's Jackson Dart. And this game doesn't mean anything, right? Even if they win it, right? I could tell you Kafka, he's probably gone anyway. And we know it means nothing for the standings, and it probably ends up hurting them in the draft and all that nonsense that I like to talk about sometimes. But this is about building with this quarterback, and that's why it's so important that he plays if he's healthy. Because games like this, on the road against quality opponents, this is what builds towards next year. Without him, it's meaningless. Jameis Winston going into Detroit and playing a good game and putting up 25 to 30 points and keeping it close and losing by a last-second field goal does nothing for me. It does nothing for them. It does nothing for us as fans. It does nothing. But if Jackson Dart goes and has that game, if Jackson Dart goes toe-to-toe with this Lions defense, if Jackson Dart puts up points without any weapons, without his guy Scadaboo, without neighbors, with a defense who can't stop the run, if he goes toe-to-toe on the road in a building where this offense traditionally puts up massive points, they have big wins. Again, 8-0 in the last eight tries against teams they are more than 3-point over favorites against at home off a loss. This is what Dan Campbell lives for. This is where you get your kneecaps bit in these games like this. And it's important, like it was important to see Eli Manning do it. It's important to see him go on the road and see how he performs in these spots. It's important down the stretch of the season to see Jackson Dart, and he shouldn't be sitting, and he shouldn't be in bubble wrap, and they should run him if that's a game-winning play. If they're at the goal line and their best option to get into the end zone is to run Jackson Dart, then that's exactly what they should do. That's exactly what they should do. If he's cleared and he's healthy, that's exactly what they should do. And I mean, it's not some sort of malfeasance. It's not some sort of reckless behavior. It's not the Giants being the Giants. Because let's be honest, look around. Like, let's just take you might call it a completely different situation. It's not. Joe Burrow is rushing back to play for the three-win Cincinnati Bengals. They have three wins. Their season is dead. What are they going to do? He's their future. He's their franchise. He's everything. He's everything. That is a significant foot injury he's dealing with. Nobody expected him back before Thanksgiving. Nobody. He wasn't due back until mid-December, a lot of reports, when he first got hurt. And they are rushing him back. He's feeling good. Doctors might clear him. If so, guess who's playing? Why? Because you play your quarterback. This is not new to the New York Giants. This is not some sort of malpractice. This isn't the Giants doing something they shouldn't be doing. This isn't some dangerous behavior. This is the NFL. If your quarterback is healthy, you play him. If he's your guy and he's your future, you play him. If he's healthy and the doctors clear him, you play him. Otherwise, why didn't they just put him on IR and forget it for the rest of the year? That's not what Cincinnati's doing with Joe Burrow, and they're playing down the stretch of a 3-win season. And if he's healthy, they'll play him in a game without Ja'Marr Chase. This is what you do. This is who they are. This is who they're trying to be. This is who they're trying to show they can be next season, when there should be, as much as it's a dumpster fire right now, if they get the right head coach in here, you're talking about a team that has Jackson Dart, that has Cam Scataboo, that has Malik Nabers, that has an offensive line that's gelling and playing much better, that does have Abdul Carter, who we do expect, despite his concerns right now, and despite his immaturity, and despite his lack of sacks, and despite not being worthy of being the third overall pick, an extremely talented kid who's still winning and beating the man in front of him more times than he's losing, and someone who should be an impact player next year, at least you're hoping. You do have Burns, who's right there at the top of the league in sacks. You do have an opportunity to have a winning team next year with a cheap, inexpensive rookie quarterback. What every team strives for, what every team wants, what every the dream of every losing franchise in the NFL is to be in the position the Giants are in. And it's not jeopardizing it by playing him. It's figuring it out. It's making sure that that's the case. It's building him so that next year you get off to a good start. You start next year knowing what you have in Jackson Dart. You start off next year where nothing is going to surprise him because he's already went to Detroit and played the best. He's already went to New England and played a 9-win team, a possible 10-win team. These games are important. He needs to play. Because as I open the show with a little bit here, the AFC is completely up for grabs. Maybe that's the NFC next year. And maybe Jackson Dart and this Giants team is part of that. Because if you could look at the Colts and you could look at the Patriots and tell me those two teams are now the class of the AFC, and it's not the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's not the Buffalo Bills, who can't put good weeks together, or the Kansas City Chiefs, who can't win close games anymore, or the Baltimore Ravens. If it's not them, and it's teams that last year were losers, giving up against the Giants at MetLife Stadium, the possibilities are endless. And the future is bright for this Giant team next year. But it does still take growth. It does still take Jackson Dart going and figuring it out and playing more games, getting more reps and getting more snaps and seeing more quality teams and being put in tough positions and being asked to do things. That's what needs to happen. And hopefully he's cleared. Hopefully he's ready to go against the Lions, and hopefully as Giant fans, we get to turn on the television and watch our future star quarterback go out there and take on a very difficult task, and let's see how he responds. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So a little bit of just NFL in general on this Football Friday, a little bit of Jackson Dart and the New York Giants and the importance of him getting out there. We'll get to all the stuff Brian Cashman had to say, including mispronouncing memes. And him doing his annual sleeping outside. In a couple weeks, he'll be climbing down a building dressed as an elf. But no one cares about that. It's how are you going to improve this Yankee team? So we'll get to all the different angles on that. Obviously, hot stove baseball, the Mets, the Yankees, the Islanders cap off a very successful road trip. The Rangers lose their third consecutive game. The Knicks get ready for Orlando over the weekend, all on the table.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 229. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Football Friday. Let's go. Need the weekend this week. Needed it more than most. The sleep has been all over the place. I know you don't care, but was having some work done in the house, having it painted, and just, you know, these inconsiderate people who want to work in the middle of the day. Like, would it kill them to, like, work when I'm working? Would it kill them to work at 1 o'clock in the morning and paint the house? No. They want to do it at like they want to do it from 9 to 5, right in my prime time sleeping. So inconsiderate. So the sleep's kind of been all over the place this week. I need the weekend. Not that I sleep much, but the weekend anyway. 888-808-1019. But we are here, Football Friday. And I just mentioned the Patriots. And I kind of started with a little bit of a generic NFL open, went into the Giants. Talked about how the Giants could be next year's Patriots. Well, we'll get into in a little bit the another reason that I'm pissed at myself that I haven't gone over in more detail on why the Giants absolutely could be next year's Patriots and what the Patriots did last year is exactly what the Giants should do this year. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Rich in South Orange. What's up, Rich?
Thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You got it, buddy.
I'd like to make 2 points, and I'd like you to hear me out.
Okay.
First off, you're absolutely spot on with the Texans, and I'd like to give kudos to their general manager and their coach because they have built the best defense in the NFL.
It has been this year, yeah.
And that is exactly how most teams succeed, by having a very good general manager and a very good coach, as well as the skill position players, etc. But my second point is this. I've been a Viking fan since 67. I watched the Bears game. Now, I'm very happy the Vikings have O'Connell and Flores as coaches, but this year, they have been horrendous. I mean, O'Connell, what the Vikings did on that last drive is what they should have been doing all game, and they would have won by 3 touchdowns. I mean, he's relying on a game management quarterback at best to make pinpoint throws 30, 40 yards down the field when it's third and long. I don't know what he's doing this year. And Flores, with the pass defense, you know, the linebackers and the secondary are playing 20 yards off the receivers. What the hell is going on in Minnesota? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I their run defense hasn't been as good. Their defense in general hasn't been as good. I know Flores is kind of still a very hot head coaching candidate, and rightfully so. I don't think he's done a great job in his career. Last year, they did a tremendous job. He did a great job with that defense. And he is as good at disguising blitzes as anybody else. But this year, that defense has not been nearly as good. And yeah, listen, J.J. McCarthy, he is a young, inaccurate quarterback. He's had the propensity to make the big play at times, whether it's to win a game, like we saw in his first start this year, after a miserable first half, what he did in the second half. So he kind of has a little bit of that in him where he'll make plays, even if they don't win, he ends up making plays that just make the game respectable and kind of turns it on late in the game. But sometimes we see defenses kind of change their game plan late in the game. So that could be part of it too. But there is no doubt it has been a frustrating go of it from the Vikings. And last year with Sam Darnold feels like night and day. It feels like night and day. Now, they regressed at the end of the year. And I think Sam Darnold is, again, I think that is as fascinating a question as there is in the NFC right now. Because I think that Seattle defense is as good as there is. I think it's right there with, again, right there with the Texans as one of the better defenses if not the best defense in the game. I think that Seattle defense is ferocious, especially on the road. They've played just just a excellent brand of football. And, I'll get into that because that could be one of my picks this week. I don't think you can make that number high enough for me coming off that loss to the Rams, the way the Seahawks play. But is Sam Darnold a good enough quarterback to win you big games? I think that is one of the more interesting questions in the NFC right now. Because they've got the defense. He's got his partner. I mean, JSN is right there right now, statistically is the best wide receiver in the game. And that defense is excellent. And when the Seahawks have it rolling, they are a dominant football team. They impose their will and they dominate as much as any other team in the NFL. They are right there with any team in the NFL as far as just dominating football games once they get it rolling in their direction. But you saw them play a big game against a good opponent, and Sam Darnold was awful. We saw what happened at the end of the year last year for Minnesota. I mean, we can go all the way back to seeing Ghost against the Patriots with the Jets. Sam Darnold, on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, has proven, not it's not up for debate anymore. Sam Darnold is a proven Sunday-to-Sunday NFL quarterback. He will put up numbers. He will throw touchdown passes. He can win football games, the whole bit. Sam Darnold on any team. Like, you have a decent football team, Sam Darnold's your quarterback, you're going to win 10 games. He's that kind of quarterback. I think he's proven it. But every time there is a big game, they line up against the Rams last week to see who's the best team in the NFC, or right there with the Eagles is the best teams in this NFC, and he folded. Last year at the end of the season against the Lions into the playoffs, folded. I'm very curious. That's one of the biggest question marks in the NFL right now. Is Sam Darnold is talented? Sam Darnold is damn good. That Seahawks team is dangerous. But is he the kind of quarterback who wins you big playoff football games? Can you go win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold? That's going to be a fascinating question. And that Vikings team, this is an interesting game against the Packers this week. I kind of like them as dogs at -6 because the Packers are kind of just right now, I don't trust them. But yeah, I agree. J.J. McCarthy, there's been some reports, right? I think Dan Orsini put out a report that you could see the future of J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota isn't guaranteed. That, he's really played an inconsistent brand of football, and he's just not very accurate. And it's not surprising, J.J. McCarthy, and I think the other thing, too, and I don't mean to constantly defend Brian Daboll, but a lot of us, myself included, were open. I didn't really pound the table for J.J. McCarthy. He was never my guy, but I was open to it at one point because I wanted to draft a quarterback. I'd take it. And if it failed, I'd draft another quarterback. I want young quarterbacks here. That's what I've been. Every time, if you don't have one, and I haven't viewed Daniel Jones as one. If you don't have one, draft one. I'm never opposed, especially at the top of the draft. I don't want to be there much. You get that quarterback position right, it changes your whole franchise, which hopefully we're going to see with Jackson Dart. But like, give it to Brian Daboll. There was a lot of talk. His name, he wasn't viewed as a first-round quarterback. He wins the national championship, still not viewed as a first-round quarterback. All of a sudden, combine, talking to coaches, has his pro day, and all of a sudden, he is thrusted right to the top of the conversation about quarterbacks going to be drafted. And everybody was clamoring for the Giants to take him. And he even asked the question, J.J. McCarthy. Remember, J.J. McCarthy was asked, you know, what team? And he specifically said, oh, the Giants. Word came out after the draft, and they passed on him. And they passed on Bo Nix, who I think last year felt like was a mistake. This year, he's 9-2. You can't argue it. But you watch him play. I mean, he did just beat the Patriots. I mean, the Chiefs. He's 9-2. He did put up 33 points in the fourth quarter against the Giants. So you can't kill Bo Nix. He's a winning player right now. He made the playoffs his rookie year. He's got the best record in the AFC right now. But you watch him play, I don't know. And not to, you know, continue to beat the drum for Brian Daboll, but someone has to. I guess no one has to, but I will. Apparently, McCarthy was the last quarterback they would never considering McCarthy. Never. They passed on Bo Nix. I don't love what I see despite the winning. They passed on J.J. McCarthy. Good decision. They passed on Shedeur Sanders. We'll find out this week, now that he's got a full week of practice with the team. I think he'll probably be better than he was in just the, you know, coming in the second half after the injury and playing, but I still don't know. You know, I wouldn't expect much from Sanders, and obviously fell all the way to the fifth round and everything, but they tried to trade up to get May. We see what he is. They tried up to get Daniels. They love Daniels. We see what he is. They took Jackson Dart. We see what he is. So if you're a team out there that is going to be looking for an offensive coordinator, someone who you want to have in the room, possibly when you're at the top of the draft, looking for a young quarterback, I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than Brian Daboll, who passed on the right quarterbacks and picked the right quarterback. I think that's the one thing we know that Brian Daboll can do, coach an NFL, be a head coach of an NFL team. I hope he gets another chance because I think he can be. I hope he gets another chance because I think he can be. But that's unproven. But what is proven, he knows quarterbacks. He knows quarterbacks. He can work with quarterbacks. He gets outside of, you know, the last 2 years, which, again, were injury prone, and Daniel Jones was terrible. He did take Daniel Jones to the playoffs, did win a road playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings, and then it didn't work from there, but every other turn. And again, the Josh Allen thing, and I think it's funny now because so many people like, oh, Josh Allen. How could you say, who cares? Brian Daboll had nothing to do with Josh Allen. Josh Allen was Josh Allen. He was going to be that no matter what, and he's only gotten better. He's only gotten better since Brian Daboll left. He's only gotten better. Well, I don't think he's better this year, and if you look at his numbers, like, let's be honest, year one, he was awful. He was awful. 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Then 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. And then 2020 and 21 was his last year. So 2020, his third year in the league under Brian Daboll, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He threw for 4,500 yards. That's the most yards he's thrown for in his NFL career. The next year, his fourth year under Brian Daboll, again, 36 touchdowns, threw for 4,400 yards. The second most yards he's ever thrown for in his NFL career. So tell me again how Josh Allen got better. Got clearly, definitively better after Brian Daboll left. Yeah, he won an MVP. You know why? Go look at the 20 season and the 21 season, and go look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers. Aaron Rodgers was throwing 40 touchdown passes and 3 picks. He took over the league in those COVID years. Took over the league. Every building was quiet. You watch the documentary. Every building was quiet. He could work in, he didn't have to worry about silent counts or, like, it was just, it was perfect environment for Aaron Rodgers. And that's the reason why Josh Allen wasn't up for the MVP. But the two last years of Brian Daboll were the most passing yards he's had in his career. Now, look, did he have Diggs back then and the wide receiving core has gotten worse? That is fair. But their running game wasn't as good as it is now. And his completion percentage is pretty much the best it's been. Right? I mean, his MVP season of last year, he had a completion percentage of 63.6. In 2020, 69.2. So, again, I don't know why this just became a Brian Daboll thing. I guess I'm just having fun with it. But I'm just saying. Someone else brought up J.J. McCarthy. But Brian Daboll, again, you can't tell me, like, I heard a call or two to the afternoon show today asking, you know, do you think the Jets should hire him as a quarterback coach or something? I think the Jets, it would be a absolute slam dunk home run to bring in Brian Daboll in some aspect to get ready for this draft process and drafting a quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt. And then to work with that young quarterback, whether it's quarterback coach, whether it's some sort of, you know, special assistant, whatever it is, the Jets, any team looking to draft and develop a young quarterback would be well served bringing Brian Daboll into their organization. I don't think there is any doubt. So I would love to see it for the Jets. I think they absolutely should figure out a way to bring Brian Daboll here. Because what we've seen over the last handful of drafts, every quarterback he wanted has been a stud. The ones he passed on, despite winning from Bo Nix, and that's fair, he is winning, and that's all that matters, right? As we talk about the complaining about Hurts and what's going on in Philadelphia, and the wide receivers are unhappy, and unnamed players, you know, talking about frustrations, all he does is win, despite maybe our thoughts of his having limited talent or the inability to do this or that. All the dude does is win, and right now Bo Nix is 9-2. You give him credit, but the quarterbacks he passed on looked to be the less talented ones. The ones he tried to go get looked to be the studs. And the one he brought in, hopefully, looks to be a stud. And the narrative of Josh Allen only got better after he left is just not true. 888-808-1019. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, buddy. You know, that's the greatest thing you ever said. I take back everything I ever said of disagreeing with you. The Jets should take Daboll.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great idea.
They should.
Maybe he can get there. Yeah, but he has to be the GM, though.
No,
right? He's not going
to
be.
I would be, obviously you're not going to hire him as a GM. He has to be in the organization some way, shape, or form, quarterback, coach, whatever. But having him in the room when it comes to quarterback evaluation would help any franchise in the NFL.
All right, here's two things for you.
Yeah.
On Kaffir, just explain to me. Don't get wild. Don't get crazy now. How is it going to be any different, the offense, in any kind of way, just because Daboll left? Daboll wasn't calling the plays.
Because
they're not making a new offense for the team. So what's different? How is it going to be different?
All right, well, let me ask you a question, right? Mm-hmm. Last year, the Jets fired Robert Saleh. The head coach was the defensive coordinator. Did the defense look any different?
No.
No? The defense fell apart. The defense was atrocious. The defense completely...
It's always been terrible.
No, stop. Come on. Stop it. Stop it.
When
it's
was the
different
Jets
because he's the head coach
good?
Now. Things get different. His like Brian Daboll is still the architect of the offense. It's his offense. And he had the, as we saw, as reports, yelling at Kafka.
But Chris,
talking
he's,
about play
he's
calling.
Running the we're talking specifically, don't jump on the defense, the offensive plays and play calling.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
third down.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
running
the
ball on
the
goal line.
It's the same play. It's the same play caller.
That's right. What's going to be different? That's all I want to know. And my other question is, and the other one is, where do you rank Daboll in the last four Giant head coaches? We'll all the way go back to the Zoot Suit guy,
Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, I got you, right?
I'd probably put him at the top. It's him and Ben McAdoo.
Wow, man. You should be the president of the Daboll fan club, man.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask me a question.
Of those four coaches, and again, you didn't ask me where does he rank with, you know,
I would put Pat Shurmur one.
How?
Pat Shurmur one, Joe Judge
How
last.
How in the world? How in the world could you put Pat Shurmur over him? What's the crowning achievement of any of those, all those quarterbacks, all those
Pat
coaches?
Pat Shurmur has
No. Shush for a second. Stop talking. Answer this question. You're constantly asking me to answer questions. Answer this question. In the time period of all of those head coaches, which is the best season and what's the crowning achievement? Get Eddie. What's the best moment in any of those four coaches' time period?
The best moment is probably the McAdoo first year playoffs.
Okay, and what happened in the playoffs?
I can't remember that.
I'm sorry. They got run over by a Green Bay Packer team. The Giants won a playoff game under Brian Daboll. He's not better than... What did Pat Shurmur do? Shurmur was 9-23. Brian Daboll won 9 games his first year. 10 if you include the playoff win. Sorry, to make it try and put me on a spot and say I'm the president of the Brian Daboll fan club when you said, where's he ranked with this crap? Like, you know, you didn't say is he where does he rank compared to Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Dan Reeves, and any other Giant-related coach. You asked me which one of the four worst head coaches they have had in the last 40 years. Where do you rank them? I rank him over Joe Judge, who was atrocious. I rank him over Pat Shurmur, who won 9 games in 2 years and did nothing. And I rank him over, you know, and I put him right there with Ben McAdoo, who let the team fall apart and benched Eli Manning. Like, it's right. I put him tied with McAdoo. That's just you trying to twist the narrative, my friend. That's all that is. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you asked me where do I rank him on the list of crap of the last 8 years? He happens to be at the top of the list of the crap. And I don't know how you could say different. I honestly don't know how you could say different. Anthony in Hicksville. What's up, Anthony?
Well, he didn't get better necessarily, Josh Allen, but he's been about the same.
Yeah.
So I don't there's been like no effect from Daboll leaving. And Daniel Jones.
He didn't get worse.
No.
It's about building him. He went from god awful to pretty much as good as he is now. Don't you think that Daboll gets credit for that maturation process?
I'd give him credit for that. I'd give him credit for Dart, and I'd give him credit for getting Daniel Jones for that 1 year.
Thank you. That's all I'm asking for. He still deserved to be fired. Right. I'm not singing his praises. But
all
like,
right.
Let's give,
I was just going to ask you.
Let's give credit where credit is due.
Yeah. Joe Shane's got a lot to do to step it up to prove that at least getting rid of Daboll is okay. You know why they got rid? You know, I really think they got rid of Daboll because of him not protecting Jackson Dart plus blowing the games in the fourth quarter.
I think
with that concussion. Concussion of Dart. I think they overreacted to that, and that was the fourth time he had to go looked at for a concussion, and they got pissed when he got kicked from the game.
I think Anthony, you're 100% right. I think the losses and the manner in which they lost the game was ultimately the reason he was fired. The reason he was fired when he was fired is because of the concussion. There's no doubt. The reason he wasn't afforded an opportunity to have the rest of the year to possibly prove that he could be the coach moving forward was because of the concussion. That was the final straw. They said that's it. Which I agree is completely short-sighted and should not have been the reason he was fired. To me, he should have been fired at the end of this season at least even during the season. I'm fine, whatever. Brian Daboll should have been fired. Like, he earned being fired. Let me put it that way. Brian Daboll earned being fired. I don't think the Jackson Dart concussion should have been as heavily weighed in that decision as it seems to be. I think it was more about the idea that now we're finding out that guys are either missing meetings or sleeping through meetings, and ultimately he cultivated a team that just knew they were going to lose and did everything they could to accomplish that. Like, it just became too abundantly clear time and time and time again they were going to make the critical mistake. They were going to do whatever it took, and the second the momentum of a game switched, they could be dominating the football game like they were against the Denver Broncos. The minute the momentum switched, they knew they were going to lose, and they made sure it happened. And it's that simple to me. It's that simple to me. Despite how well he was working with the quarterback, despite all the stuff I'll tell you and that I firmly believe and that I think is fair to mention, the fact of the matter is that team, it just felt like they were a group that knew they were going to lose. And he's the head coach, and he cultivated that atmosphere. And it was just too many losses, too many terrible losses, too many losses with, 95% win percentage or whatever else. It just became unsustainable, became unacceptable. And I was fine with it. I understood it after the final one against the Bears. I don't think the Jackson Dart concussion is what should have been the final nail in his coffin. I don't. And after the update, we'll take your calls still. Ray, Kevin, I'm going to take your calls. But at some point in the next hour, I talked a lot about the Patriots and the connection, and hopefully what the Giants can be next year is what the Patriots are this year with May. You could look back to last year and find a very similar set of circumstances.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.